Blessings, everybody. Can you guys hear me fairly well today? Yes? Okay. If you guys can kneel, we'll go ahead and open up in prayer to our Father. So, bow your hearts. Heavenly Father, give us this day our daily bread. Feed us the truth that we so hunger for. Bless over us during this study and bridle my character and my tongue so that only you are glorified today on your holy Sabbath. Thank you for being here with us and listening to our prayers. And we pray that you enlighten us to the truth so that we can see in this darkness and keep us under your wing and protect us. And thank you for the love that you have for us. And we send this prayer up through the help of the Holy Spirit, but in the name of our righteousness, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Christ said, "They do honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." We often pray that the Lord's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Sometimes we don't understand, though, that God uses us to create and work out that will here on earth. We must not only just pray for the Lord's will, but help accomplish the Lord's will here on earth. This sermon is going to be talking about those who run from following God's will. Though they may at times pray for it, when they receive the order to help accomplish it, they run from it. Some may just not want to do the Father's will. Others may want to follow the Lord's will, but do it their way because they think they can do it better. Whatever the excuse and reason is, if the Lord tells us to do something, we must not hesitate or change one small detail in which the Lord has told us to do. Look at what the Lord told Lot's wife. Don't look back. It was a simple direction. Just don't turn around. All she had to do, and yet she turned her neck, did look back, and died as a result. So do we think God doesn't mean what he says? The action may have physically been so small, but if it's not what the Lord told us to do, then it becomes great. We must follow and do exactly what the Lord says. One of the people that I'm sure most comes to mind when choosing not to listen to God's will is Jonah. And that's where we will begin our study. So if you guys have a Bible handy, or you can scroll down to the below the chat, there is verses so you can follow along. And we'll start with Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. The Lord told Jonah, and directly told him his will. Go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. Again, it's a simple direction. But to put this into perspective, in Jonah's perspective, in chapter 4, it says Nineveh had about 120,000 people. It was a three-day journey just to walk through Nineveh. Nineveh was also the capital of the Assyrian army, who had led Israel captive before. This was indeed a wicked city, and to be called to go into this city was a great deal. Jonah was a Jew. He dressed like a Jew, he walked like a Jew, talked like a Jew, and to be a stranger, and to go into this heathen city where they were once slaves and cry against the people, it says in the next verse, Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. Jonah took the first bus out of there, so to speak. He didn't want to go into a heathen city and stand out like that and tell them in their own city that his God was going to punish them. He questioned the will of God, as if God was making a mistake sending him there. If we continue this verse, when Jonah found the ship leaving to Tarshish, it says in verse 3, So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He paid the fare to get on the ship to get away from God. In other words, it cost to run away from God. Amen? Can we really even escape the presence of God anyways? Of course not. But Jonah is going to try. So let's read what happens on this ship Jonah has now paid to get on. In verses 4 and 5, still in chapter 1 of Jonah, it says, The Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried, every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, that it lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. The Lord sent a storm with a great wind, so much so that the mariners, it says, who keep in mind have lived on the sea and I'm sure experienced storms on a boat before, they thought that this one was it. This storm is going to cause the ship to be broken in half. So they started throwing things overboard. And you know it had to be their last resort to start throwing the goods overboard. When all this is taking place, where is Jonah? In the middle of this storm, he's sleeping. And isn't that the way it is in our life sometimes? You choose not to listen to God, and God sends you signs, and it is as if you're asleep, completely oblivious to what's going on around you. In verse 6 it says, So the shipmaster came to him, and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, and if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. Another lesson to be taught here in this verse. Sometimes when we don't see the signs God is sending to us, other people have to come and wake us up to them, because we tend to blind ourselves to what's taking place around us. In verse 8, it says, Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thy occupation? Whence comest thou, and what is thy country? Of what people art thou? See, these men know that this storm is no regular storm. Someone must have made mad the gods, as they believe. And they're asking Jonah all these questions to try to figure out why this storm has just came up out of nowhere. And Jonah then begins to explain to them. He said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. And you see, Jonah's explaining to them which God he believes in. You got to keep in mind, these people believed in multiple gods. So Jonah is saying, I believe in the God that created everything. The land we left shore on, the sea that we now are on, belongs to him. And in telling them this, it says, then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea was wrought and was tempestuous. And that's when Jonah responded. He said in verse 12, he said unto them, take me up, cast me forth into the sea, and so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Jonah realized, not only does it affect me and cost me to run from the Lord, it affects those around me also. This is a concept that we need to recognize. Another example to give to you on this subject is if the Holy Spirit convicts you to walk up and share a message with someone, and you choose not to do it, you choose not to follow the Lord's will, that person may end up dying the eternal death because you didn't warn them. And don't think for one instance, one second, his blood isn't on your hands. Scripture is clear in Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 18, when it says, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou, that's you, givest him not a warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand. See, Jonah was told to warn the wicked, not just a single person, but an entire city. And if he chose not to go, do you realize the blood that would be required at his hand for the over 100,000 people in Nineveh would reach clear over his head? He would drown in the blood required at his hand. And you choosing to run from God will affect you and others also. Jonah didn't want that job. I'm sure if God said, go into Assyria and preach to one man and then leave, he would have done it. But the whole city, the whole wicked city that made us slaves, Jonah said no. I'm sure he was fearing for his life, afraid if he went into that city that they would kill him, thinking there's no way I can get 100,000 plus people to just repent and turn from their evil. And this is something everyone needs to pay attention to. Listen to God when he says in Isaiah 55 verses 8 and 9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now, I could argue sometimes we don't think enough when we make our choices in life. But the same is true, and sometimes we think too much. We need to recognize God knows what he is doing. And if he says to do something, we shouldn't think twice about it. I'm sure inside Jonah's head he was thinking too much. What if this happens? Or what if that happens? What if I'm taken as a slave again? What if I'm murdered? What if they beat me? These people won't repent. I'd just be wasting my time. If God tells you to do something, that's when the least amount of fear should be in you. The most amount of confidence should be in you. Because then you know you're doing something right, following the directions and the will of our Heavenly Father. then you know things will work out. Now listen again to what the Lord says and how He describes it when He gives us a direction. Isaiah 55, 10 and 11. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, it returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and make it bring forth bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. I'll stop here for a second. So as the rain falls down, and the snow falls down, it doesn't go back up. It waters the earth. It makes things multiply, bringing forth buds and giving seed to the sower. Now listen to what Christ is explaining in verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. God's word may fall upon you, so you can spread that seed that His children may multiply like the buds of the earth. God is trying to multiply the saved. Don't be the one to try to make void His words which fell upon you. Jonah needed to understand that it is written in this verse that God's word will accomplish that which He pleases, and Jonah's message will prosper where God sends him. Getting back to the story of Jonah, we read again in verse 12, He said unto them, Take me up, cast me forth into the sea, and so shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. There's a lot of symbolism in the Bible, a lot of foreshadowing. Jonah is sleeping on a boat in the middle of a storm. Christ was sleeping on a boat in the middle of a storm. Here we are about to see another foreshadowing. Jonah is saying, let me die so that others may live. And who else died so that we may live? God taught Jonah a good lesson. And we can start to see different fruits in Jonah right now. At first, he wasn't willing to go into a city to save a huge city that they may live. And now he's willing to possibly die, being thrown overboard for just a couple of men on a boat, Scripture says. Now, verse 13 goes on to say, Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea was wrought and was tempestuous against them. Said, Nevertheless, the men kept rowing. I'm sure Jonah appreciated them not throwing him overboard right away after he said that. But I can't imagine what's going through his head. As they continue to row hard, it says, but got nowhere. So there's a good lesson in here for the heathens. If you want to go against God, you will get nowhere. Amen? As these men rowed hard, they continued to try to make it to shore, but got nowhere. Verse 14 goes to say, Wherefore they cried unto the Lord, and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee. Let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleases thee. These men recognized that they could row all night long, and they were not going to gain the first yard to shore if the Lord didn't want them to. Verse 15 says, So they took up Jonah, and they cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. They finally said, We are not going to make it. We will die because of this man who has disobeyed God's command. Then they tossed him out of the ship, and immediately it says, the next verse says, It quit. The whole terrible storm that had these men fearing for their lives, tossing to and fro and had them throwing things overboard, just up and quit. And I'm sure we all know their reaction. We would all probably have the same. Verse 16 says, The men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. These men were terrified. They didn't know what to do, so they threw him overboard, threw Jonah overboard. And then when everything instantly stopped, they began to be even more fearful of the Lord. Scripture says because of this experience, they made vows to the Lord. And I'm sure it was definitely an experience. Verse 17 says, Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Another foreshadowing right here. Jonah sacrificed himself so others may live, then spent 3 days in a whale's stomach. Or it says a fish's stomach, but Christ sacrificed himself and spent 3 days in the grave. There's no way man wrote the Bible. Wrote the Bible alone, that is. You have possibly, let's just say, 30 different men living in all different areas during all different times in our history, writing all different stories, and yet all the stories match perfectly together, foreshadowing and complementing each other. That's inspiration from the Holy Spirit. Now back to Jonah. He wanted to flee from the presence of the Lord. Again, I think the Lord is trying to teach Jonah something else right now. If I wanted to flee from God, I can't imagine a place more farther away from the Lord on this earth than at the bottom of the ocean and then inside of a fish's belly. Yet let's see what happens. Can he escape the presence of our God? Jonah chapter 2 verse 2 says, it's Jonah speaking. He said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. I cried by reason of my affliction, he said. And I'd probably do the same. Can you imagine? You're in the stomach of a fish in the bottom of the ocean. But that's where Jonah wanted. He wanted to. Yet Jonah said, Thou heardest me. Why? Because you can't escape God's presence. Oh, I am with you always. So remember that no matter where you are in life, God is with you. There's another interesting thing Jonah said. He referred to it as hell. The actual word there is Hades, in which even Christ used to try to paint a clearer picture, to add detail to the affliction. Here's a sobering thought. Could this be another foreshadowing? That if we don't follow the Lord's will, we could end up in a place like hell? Nonetheless, it definitely shows that when running from the Lord, we place ourselves in situations like Jonah did that feel like hell. And that feel like a lonely and dark and miserable place because of our actions. Jonah chapter 2 verse 10, and then we'll go to chapter 3 verses 1 and 2. The Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon dry land. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I had bid thee. Now, Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh back then. Imagine how hard it is for him now to go. I'm sure he's tired. I don't imagine you would sleep too well in a fish's belly for 3 days. Now he has to walk into this city, I'm sure with a little bit of a smell to him, and tell these heathens that God will destroy you. Things would have been a lot simpler if he would have stopped stop doing what he wanted and start doing the highest, and listen, the highest and greatest gift we can give to God is to become obedient. Now, Jonah goes on to preach this message that was given to him, and it's incredible. The city actually repents, and it becomes saved. And we won't continue to read any more about Jonah. We will try to stick to our theme we are studying that has to do with not running away from God's will and not running away from the commands given us by the Lord. Let's ask ourselves, what exactly is the will of our Father? Back then, it was that Jonah should preach and the city repent and become saved. Has our Father's will changed? Let's flip to the New Testament in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. It says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." He's willing that not any should perish, but should come to repentance. So has the Father's will changed? Of course not. Our Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He wants people to repent and to become saved. Ezekiel 33:11 says, "As I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways. For why will ye die, O house of Israel?" God didn't want to destroy Nineveh. He wouldn't have had any pleasure in killing those sinful heathens. He would rather have them turn from their evil. Repent and live, for why would you choose to die, his question was. He asked Jonah. And Jonah was called by the Lord to go and preach. The Lord wanted to save those people, and Jonah was more worried about himself than saving the heathens. And some of you may say that if you were in his shoes, you wouldn't have done that. You are in his shoes. You have a direct order given from God, as plain as Jonah received. It's in Mark 16:15. "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Simple direction. Go and preach the gospel into all the world. What are you doing? Are you choosing to run away from God? Maybe convince yourself that the storms the Lord has been sending your way, they're just natural. That there's nothing divine to them. Or are you asleep? Like Jonah was, when you should have been out trying to save the lost. Is Christ not our example? Did Christ not go from city to city trying to share the truth? Can you call yourself a Christian if you're not following his example? Are you willing to, as Jonah and Christ did, sacrifice your life so that others may live? What exactly are you doing? What excuse do you have to run away from the life and choose death? We need to ask ourselves, what are we doing here? Here on this earth, here at this time, what are we doing? The Bible lays out a clear picture as to what happens when you choose to disobey God's will and run away. Because more than Jonah ran away from God. Go way back to the beginning of our story. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, it says, "They heard the voice of the Lord God, walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden." Adam and Eve tried to hide from God also. They tried to run away from him because they too didn't follow the Lord's will. In Genesis 3, verse 9, now it says, "The Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? Now, is God all-knowing? Of course. So why do we see him asking questions? Because it's for our benefit, to teach us what he knows. God asks a lot of questions in the Bible, and I believe these same questions we should ask ourselves. Where art thou? He said. Where are we? Are we hiding from God? Trying to hide so that we don't have to follow God's will? As if God won't notice us when we hide? You know, when I was in school, I sat in the back of the class and slid down the back of my seat as if the teacher couldn't see me. And that's when the teacher called upon me to do something. That's when I was called out. And God is calling upon you, and you can't hide either. God asked Adam, Have you eaten from the tree which I told you not to eat off of? And listen to what Adam says. The man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat. See, we often blame God for things. The woman you gave me told me to eat. We blame God when it's not God that did something wrong, it's us. We choose to run away from him. And look at this. Looking at this, can you see now the results of not following God's will? What it used to be back then compared to what it is right now. Look at the sin and the death that surrounds us. Adam and Eve choosing not to follow the will of the Father affected us. And you choosing today not to follow God's will affects those tomorrow. The day of probation is coming to an end. The choices we make today affect us tomorrow and affects all those around us. Where are we? Are we blaming God, choosing to run away from him, or should we do as Jonah and pray no matter where we are in life right now and repent right now knowing God hears us and pray he gives us another chance, another opportunity to go and preach the gospel as we have been commanded to do? Scripture says, today choose you. Choose you this day whom ye will serve. God is with us right here, right now, waiting to see who will stand up to accomplish his will. And I pray today that we can go out and not let the words of the Lord return void, that we can accomplish his will. I hope and pray that you are blessed by this message.
To fight in this battle, set yourself, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them. Thank you. shall not need to fight in this battle. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not.
Amen. If you can kneel, let's finish in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us on this Sabbath day, the changing of the showbread. Please let it be that the hearts that needed to hear this truth are moved by it, and they go forth and do that which you have called them to do. And if they refuse, Father, thank you for sending them the great fish that will force them, as you did Jonah and many of us throughout our lives. Thank you for loving us that much to trust us with your word and share it with those you send our way. Please bless this Sabbath day. Please bless everyone in attendance, everyone on our prayer list, and everyone that you send our way to share this truth with. Thank you for forgiving us, cleansing us, and blessing us with the latter rain. And we offer this prayer unto you in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen.